The title of our message today is The Shining Light. The Shining Light. I think that many of you, if not most of you, have seen the TikTok video posted by the woman who mistakenly put Gorilla Glue on her hair. Did you see it? If you didn't see it, go on the internet, not right now. Google it and look at it. It is interesting. In the video, the woman says that her hair hasn't moved, that it is stiff, that it won't move, and she explains that she picked up the wrong bottle of stuff, thinking that it was, you know, stuff for her hair, and actually it was Gorilla Glue. And she took the Gorilla Glue and put the glue on her hair, and she says, look, it hasn't moved for days. And she warns viewers against using Gorilla Glue. Well, duh! At first, the story was humorous to me. I thought it was a hoax or either a crazy stunt that went wrong. I have Gorilla Glue at the house, and I know how strong it is. So I said to myself, why would somebody put Gorilla Glue in their hair? But eventually, I began to have compassion for this woman. I understand the struggles that women face concerning their hair, skin color, and body image, particularly African American women. So I felt a little something. I felt a little something for this woman's plight. She tried to remove the glue at home, but she was unsuccessful. She went to the ER, but the staff couldn't remove the glue. And eventually a doctor, hearing of her plight, offered his services free of charge and successfully removed the glue from the woman's hair. I guess she learned her lesson. You've got to pay attention to certain things or you'll get stuck in a situation that can be harmful. I think that this woman's story provides a metaphor for life. Sometimes our decisions can leave us stuck. The glue is a metaphor for bondage. Sometimes a simple act or choice can open the door to bondage. It doesn't take long to get caught in the grip of something that is detrimental to your life. And sometimes, without the help of someone or something outside of yourself, you can remain stuck. Our text in 2 Corinthians is not about being stuck in that way. It's about Paul's defense of his ministry and the gospel. Apparently, some super apostles questioned Paul's credentials and activities. And some even suggested that Paul needed to bring letters of commendation to support his ministry. That's the larger context of our text in Corinthians. But within this defense that Paul mounts concerning his ministry, Paul tosses out some wonderful spiritual nuggets. He talks about the power of the gospel to bring transformation and hope. It's very important to read that section. He talks about the glory of the law versus the glory of the Spirit. He compares the glory of the law to the glory of the Spirit and says that the Spirit has greater glory than the law. That's good reading as well. And in our text for today, Paul talks about light. The light of God and how the light of God reflects the glory of Christ. Today, the Christian church celebrates Transfiguration Sunday, a day when the church commemorates the transformation of Christ on the mountain, when his face is transfigured and his face radiates the glory of God. They see this light on the mountain, hence this shining light, hence this text for today. And I want to look at this light. Even though Paul just tosses this message in as a part of his overall defense of his ministry, what he says about the light, I think, is instructive and powerful. And the first thing that you'll notice that Paul mentions as he talks about the light of God, the light of the gospel, the light that shines in our hearts, is that there are attempts to block the light. He says, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So just like Paul has some detractors, the light of God, Paul suggests, also has detractors. And these detractors want to block the light and inhibit its ability to impact people for Jesus Christ. Paul speaks about the God of this age. He's really talking about Satan, the God of this age, as the source of the blocking. He suggests that Satan and the forces of evil are at work in the world, working to block the minds and hearts of persons. The goal of Satan and the forces of evil is to prevent persons from seeing the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, the light of God reveals the glory of Christ. The light affirms that Christ is the very image of God. And Paul argues that Satan and the forces of evil deliberately work to block folk from the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I like that point because there are forces in this world that want to keep us bound. They stick and they harden on us like gorilla glue. These are forces that form a shell that hardens and tries to block us from seeing the light of God in Jesus Christ. There are forces out there like addiction, drug addiction, and alcohol addiction, and other addictions. There are forces like low self-esteem and forces like toxic people, forces like traumas that have occurred in our lives, forces like the ghosts of our past, that try to hold us down and block our growth. Some of us are stuck by those forces, just as stuck as this woman on this TikTok video, this woman who was stuck by gorilla glue. We feel stuck just like she was stuck with this glue. There are forces at work out there trying to block us. And some of those forces, we learned, are at work in Washington, D.C., The impeachment trial took place in the Senate. The Democrats laid out their case. The defense team addressed the Senate. And many persons viewing the proceedings and even prior to the proceedings might say, it's a no-brainer. There is incontrovertible evidence to convict the president of inciting this mob that stormed into the Capitol. Others might say, there's nothing worthy of conviction. Or the brilliant thing that the minority leader of the Senate had the unmitigated gall to get up and say, well, he was wrong, basically. He was wrong, but the courts will take care of it. Have mercy. 43 senators voted against conviction. I tell you, there are forces at work in the arenas of power trying to block the light. There are forces at work trying to blind the minds of folk and block the light of truth from holding the day. And so even as Paul tries to spread the gospel of Christ, he mentions these counter forces at work trying to block the light of God. So that's one thing he teaches, that there are forces that try to block this light. But then he goes on to say something powerful, and I love it. The text says, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. Now that's a lot. Let's take it apart. As I said earlier, Paul isn't really giving a lesson on light. He is talking about his preaching. He's trying to defend his ministry. But he says in verse 5, "For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake." Paul is defending in his ministry and his preaching, but as he does that, he drops off this nugget about the light. He connects the light that shines to reveal the glory of Christ to its source. The light that shines in the gospel comes from God, Paul says. But it comes from the same God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. I like that. When I read this text last week, it just struck me. It gripped my spirit. The light he come for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Light out of darkness. This is a reference to the creation story in Genesis 1. The Bible says in Genesis 1, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." And here's the verse. "And God said, let there be light, and there was light." So Paul is referencing this passage when he talks about the God who said, light, commanded light to shine out of the darkness. The light comes from the God of creation. The light that shines emanates from God's own word. God calls the light out of darkness. If we were there, we would say, what is the light? Where is it? We didn't know the light was there, but God knew it. He called the light out of the darkness. God said, let there be light. And at his word, the light shows up at the ready, at attention, right to do the bidding of God. What's so important about that, Pastor? The point is, God's creative power is behind the light. The same word and the same power that called the light from the darkness is the power of the light that shines in us. The light represents the power and the work of God. Paul is referencing, when he references God in Genesis, he's referencing the creative force and power behind the light. That's why Satan works so hard to block the light, because there is power behind the light. In the prologue, the first chapter of the Gospel of John, the Bible says, "In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind." And it says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." King James says, "The darkness comprehendeth it not." And the darkness has not overcome it. That phrase sort of suggests a struggle. A struggle between the light and the darkness, as if the darkness was trying to subdue the light. But that's not what it really means. The text literally means the darkness has not understood the light. The darkness has not recognized the light. But I like the suggestion or the hint of a struggle, that inference that the darkness cannot subdue the light. The reason I like it is there is power behind the light. Because the light that shines comes from the creative force, the creative power of God. There's power behind the light. You know, we're going to start the Lenten season on Wednesday with Ash Wednesday, and it runs 40 days, and it includes Good Friday. And usually we have worship on Good Friday, and on Good Friday, churches revisit those seven words or sayings of Jesus from the cross. And sometimes we revisit those sayings in song, or we present the music, musical presentations, but most times we present them with preachers who come, to preach on each saying from the cross. And sometimes when we pastors get together to plan, the worship, and we decide we're going to invite certain preachers and pastors to come and preach, we call them and ask them if they're available, and then we sit down and try to schedule, the preachers for certain words, and we look at how they preach, we think about how they deliver the word, and sometimes we will put the most subdued, preacher up first and try try to move from the most subdued presentation to what we think is the most powerful presentation so that the worship builds toward an apex. And so we'll say of the person that we choose to do the last save from the cross, we'll let him close it out or let her close it out because we think that the power will come at the end. But the anointing and the power of God do not work that way. Sometimes somebody might catch fire when you least expect it. It might not be at the seventh word. It might be at the second word or it might be at the third word. When the power of God is behind you, you can't control the power of God. That's what Paul is saying about this light that comes out of darkness. The light that shines is the light that of the power of God. And then he's able to say the second part, that the light of God, of the God of creation, shines in the hearts of believers. He says, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, God's creative power and force, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Jesus Christ. Get this part. When the gospel is preached and received in the heart of a person, the light of the God of creation shines in that heart. The light of God breaks the grip of sin and whatever else binds a person. The light of God pours in to a heart of faith and helps persons to see Christ more clearly. The light of creation, the light of creation works in the hearts of persons, of the God of creation, I should say. The light of God enables believers to recognize and know God's glory in Christ. So when he shines in our hearts, we look into the face of Christ and we see the radiant glory of God. We see it in the face of Christ. The power of the God of creation shines in the hearts of those who believe. And this means that with the light of God, with the light of God, there's always a way out of bondage. There's always a path to freedom. When Paul writes this verse, when he talks about the light shining out of the darkness, shining in his heart, I don't know whether Paul is pointing to his own experience on the road to Damascus, because I know Paul knows about life-altering light. Paul says, the Bible says in Acts 9:1, meanwhile, Saul still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogue in Damascus so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, the light of God. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, he replied. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. The light of God surrounds Paul and brings him face to face with the knowledge of the glory of God in Jesus Christ. That's really the crux of my message today. The light that God summons out of the darkness of creation carries the power of God for transformation and for change. God allows the light not only to shine in the darkness, but also to shine in our hearts. It doesn't matter where the darkness is or what the darkness is. The power of God can shine in our darkness. And that's why Paul goes on to say these words in the text. But we have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. persecuted but not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. And I know this verse doesn't seem like it fits with the verses about the light, but Paul is saying in these verses, in verses 7 through 9, that there is a working. There is a working that results from the light that God shines in our hearts. And that working, that power, that working releases us from the things that bind us. And the result is freedom. Freedom from bondage. Freedom from hopelessness. Freedom from despair. The result is healing. The result is restoration. The result of the working of God through the light is freedom, is release. And Paul knows about this working. That's why he says what he says. He sees the working of God in his preaching. Paul knows that the power doesn't come from him. The power comes from God. He acknowledges that the gospel he preaches is not his message. It is God's message. In fact, Paul calls it treasure. And Paul says this treasure, this message, this treasure is placed in jars of clay, frail jars of clay, to send the message that the power comes not from the jar, but from the God who made the jar. And that's good news. It's good news today that the light that shines in us deposits within us the power of God, so that it doesn't matter what blocks us. The God's power can break through. I saw a story on LinkedIn that just lifted my spirits about a month ago. It was about a little girl who had no hands. Both arms ended at the wrist. But she won the handwriting contest at her school. I said, wow, this little girl with no hands won the handwriting contest at her school. The reason is somebody told this little girl that having no hands is no problem. Somebody told this little girl, work with what you have. And she worked with what she had, and what she produced was better than those who had hands to write with. What a blessing from God. That's what God is telling us. That's what God is telling us today. The shining light of God that shines in our hearts, that comes from the God of creation, gives us the capacity to work with what we've got. And because we can work with what we got, we can be pressed on every side but not crushed. We could be perplexed but not in despair. The other day on Friday, the lights went out at our house in Round Rock. So it got all cold, and the trees and shrubs had ice on them. And well, the lines did. Went out at noon. Stayed out until 8 o'clock Friday night. We didn't like it, but we didn't worry about it. We knew the crews were out there working. We knew that eventually the lights would come back on. And so what we knew shaped our response. We've been through lights going out before. That's not the first time we've experienced that. And what we knew shaped our response. So we went and got something to eat. We got our cell phones and played with our cell phones. We read books. We did different things around the house, just waiting until the lights would come back on, because what we knew shaped our response. And so Paul says, we know something. We know that the God who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness has shined the light in our hearts. And so we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. What we know shapes how we respond. We know that weeping may endure for a night, but if we hold on during the night, joy will come in the morning. I like Psalm 46, and I leave it with you. And I like that little section that says, there is a river, the streams whereof make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. And that right early. And then it goes on to say, the Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob. Here's our refuge, the shining light. This isn't on my paper. Let me just drop this off and then I'm done again. The reason I titled this message, The Shining Light, is to remind us that the light always shines. It never goes out. Encore might have some shutdowns. The light of God always shines. We extend the invitation to you and to your families. Ebenezer members and online friends, it is our prayer that the message today has been a blessing to you and to your family. We pray that God's Spirit will implant the word deep into your hearts and give you the assurance of God's love and grace. We invite you to follow Christ with us. If you're not a Christian, you can become a Christian today. All you have to do is believe that God has come in Jesus to save us from our sins, and that Jesus gave his life on the cross, and that God raised Jesus from the dead on the third day. If you believe that, you are a Christian. We welcome you to the family of God, and we pray for you daily. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like to hear your story. You can reach out to us on our website at ebc3austin.org. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. You can also subscribe to our YouTube channel and join us each Sunday for worship. You may also reach us at our church office at ebcoffice@sbcglobal.net. Thank you so much for joining us today, and may God's peace be with you until we meet again. Thank you, beloved, for joining us for worship today. I encourage you to be safe and to be careful as we navigate not only through this pandemic, but also through this weather. Will you join me in prayer now as we receive the benediction? Eternal God, we thank you for another Lord's Day and for the blessed privilege of worshiping you in spirit and in truth. We thank you that on this day we celebrate Transfiguration Sunday, commemorating the day Jesus was transfigured on the mountain and the radiance of God shone upon Jesus. We thank you, O God, for reminding us of that light, not only today, but through your servant Paul in his writing to the church at Corinth. Thank you, O God, for reminding us of the shining light, that there are attempts to block the light, that Satan and the forces of evil are at work in the world trying to block people from seeing the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And thank you for helping us to see that this light is connected to the source of the light in creation, that God, who called the light out of the darkness in creation, is in this light, and that this light has shined in our hearts, representing God's power, representing God's work. So there's power behind the light, transformational power behind the light. And we thank you, O God, for the light that changes us, that changes our hearts, that changes our lives. Because the result is that the power of God, through this light that has shined in our hearts, gives us the capacity to break the grip of sin, breaks the grip of bondage, and helps us to do the work, because the power is at work in us. The power is at work through us, helping us to overcome whatever binds us. Thank you for that message. And we pray, O God, that anyone who is bound today might find a release. Just as this woman found help with her situation with her hair, we pray that persons who are watching and listening would find release from bondage through the light of Jesus Christ and the power of God. And now may the blessings of God be upon you. May God equip you with all you need to do His will. May He lead you forth with joy and sustain you by His perfect peace through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.